All righty then. We are live. We're about a minute early, 30 seconds early. So we're going to make sure we're live, and then we're going to get right into it. All right. We're not there yet. There is a live show right now. That's Daniel Ballbusters. What Life is Like Without the Parasite. Gee, I wonder what parasite.
Yeah, that wouldn't that be an amazing thing to see and feel?
Oh, boy. It would be paradise. Parasite paradise. Right now it's parasite paradise for them. But it would be paradise for us.
Go over there to France and see all the parasites.
Yes. Oh. There we are, my friend. We are live. And we're going to unpin that last pin number. And there it is. It's unpinned. And we got, let's see. We got a couple people in the show, James. How are you today, this Tuesday, March 25?
Me? I'm doing great.
Yep. Anything happening out there in the...
All the usual. You know, I turn on the news and road rage and murder-suicide and smash and grabs and...
Come on closer to that mic.
The usual.
It all
goes to tell me it's breaking down. I just tell people, hey, you're living in the final, not the final stages of the Roman Empire, but the decline.
Yes. Yeah, not the final, but yeah, we're getting pretty close. Yeah. Hopefully we're going to get to be able to see it.
And or feel it.
Yes.
And it won't be fun. I can't poke fun at it because it won't be fun.
No, it will not. All right. I've got to douse one gadget. I'm going to do it right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it. Done. All righty then. We might as well get right into it. Let's see who we got here. Shameless Wiseass. Good day, gents. Glad to be here. Glad you're here. Okay, let us put the pin number up there in case anyone wants to call in. All right, let me get that. And I'll pin it right up. And, of course, as we were talking about before the show, James, I have to shut down exactly at 1 o'clock because I got a VA appointment in Pensacola. So I got to head there. That's it's not too close. So let me put this pin in if I could. There we go. And I'm going to pin the pin when it gets up there. There she blows. So it's pinned up there. If you want to call in, you can go to FTJ Media and go to that call-in tab, call-in button on top of the screen, the menu, in the menu bar next to schedule, and you can find all the numbers from pretty much all over the world. Some countries have toll-free numbers, and then after you, wow, lizard just got that bug. Wow, that was fast. Didn't even see the lizard. I saw the bug flying, one of those little... you know those crane flies?
Flies. Might know them by another name. You got a lizard roaming free?
Oh, tons of them.
Tons of them. Oh, you mean out of doors, of
course.
Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes they come in and they will die if we don't find them because.
Of course. No water, no
food. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Terrible. Yeah. So we found them, a few of them, you know, dried up. You know, we try to be careful when we open the door because they scoot in. They rest by the door many times, but they've got a nice little oasis here, a lot of greens and those, whatever that was, mayfly or, you know, crane fly, those things, I think they have a lifespan of 24 hours. So that was even less for that guy. Oh, he's gone. Yeah. He's a goner. Lori is here. She says hello.
Hello, Lori. Hello to all our regulars.
Yes. And the numbers, yeah. So just if you want to call in and talk to us, ask a question, just go to the call-in button on the top of FTJ. You'll find the number, and then after you dial the number, you'll put that PIN number in, which I have pinned to the top of the chat here, 93481268 05. Then I think you have to hit the pound sign after that.
When was the last time you played Pin the Tail on the Donkey?
Oh, God.
Or did you ever? Oh, God, man. We're going back some.
Decades.
Early elementary school, some of the sweetest birthday parties.
Oh, yeah.
What memories, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Simple and sweet.
Exactly. And safe.
And safe.
Simple,
and,
sweet,
and
safe.
And clean.
Yes. And sterilized. Yeah, it's just, oh, my God, what these Jews have done. Thomas Dwyer says, hello, gentlemen. And Thomas is not too, actually, I was in Thomas's neck of the woods yesterday, running around appointments and stuff. So, great town where he's at. Straight out of Swampton is in the house. He says, oh, slash. And let's, hey, let's go right to it. Okay. Let me get that, that page up that we look at with some regularity. And okay. So this is relatively new. Let me first go here, make it big. And there we go. So let's see. This was from one day ago. So today, I better be right. Today's Tuesday. Last time we were on was Thursday. So a lot has happened in between. But let's see what this communist Jew, Bernie Sanders, who you know, is he's not from Vermont. He's a Jew from New York City. But he worked his way up to Vermont. He's masquerading as he's masquerading as someone from Vermont. He's also masquerading as an American, and he's also masquerading as a human.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's hear what this this kike has to say.
Is there anything that you think Trump has done right?
Yeah, I mean, I think cracking down on fentanyl. Making sure our borders are stronger. Look, nobody thinks illegal immigration is appropriate.
Yeah, why didn't you say that before, Jew? Ah, yeah. Let's listen to this. Now, if this is the same mayor, and I think it is, the mayor of Minneapolis is a kike. I think his name is Jacob Fry. So let's hear what this kike has to say, James.
Call home. And notwithstanding, Minneapolis will continue to be a safe haven for undocumented immigrants, for our trans community.
Oh, boy.
Of who you are or where you come from, Minneapolis is a place where you should be proud to call home. And notwithstanding a whole lot of chaos that's happening right now at the federal level, I want you all to know that we're going to stand by our values. Minneapolis is producing 8.5 times more deeply affordable housing than we ever have before. We're providing the kind of comprehensive safety that people have asked for. And just so everybody hears it directly from me, crime is dramatically down right now. And so you don't need to listen to the talking heads. You can look at the statistics. And in this city, by the way, facts matter. We listen to experts. We trust the data. And we love our city more than our ideology. And because we're so committed to this city, we're going to be standing with all of you every single step of the way. And so in conclusion, I know that there's a lot of chaos that's happening right now in our city. But what gives me a whole lot of hope right now in this room is that you all are strong. We are strong. We're going to stand up against these injustices that we're presently seeing. And thankfully, we're going to stand together. Thank you so much.
you could see that to the right is that African
right
representative Ilhan Omar.
Yeah. Yeah,
it looks like that on the left is some sort of Jew. Also, these are two goyim next to him on either side of him. That one with the glasses might be a man. It's tough to tell. It's huge compared to the other ones.
Yes,
so it might be a trans. It might be a man pretending to be a woman. And interesting that this kike said, you know, crime is way down. He says, and then at the end he says, I know there might be a lot of chaos in the city.
I caught that. Yeah. I caught that.
What does that mean?
Yeah, well, yeah. Chaos.
Yeah.
Let's trust the dictionary.
Holy fuck. Holy fuck.
Yeah, well, you know, Trump ought to set that guy up, you know, put all kind of challenges in there so that Holman come in and lock his ass up.
Exactly.
Yeah, just bait the son of a bitch.
Exactly. We need that. That's what we need. Herman is in the house, James. Herman Hilser Ritter. Hi, Dave and James. And so is Klasha. Straight out of Swamp and says, wow, now I know where Crazy Town is. Tranny invaders for the win. Yeah, it's unfucking believable. Here you go. Flight carrying a 199. They couldn't make it 200. 199 illegal migrants from the U.S. has just landed in Venezuela. Okay, there you get the fuck out of here.
Hey, there you go. How about that? What the hell is that?
Well, Tiger Woods is an African man.
Yeah.
He likes white women, obviously.
Of course he does.
Yeah. Tiger Woods confirms his relationship with Vanessa Trump.
You're shitting me.
Ex-wife.
Oh, well, there you go.
Donald Trump Jr.
Son of a bitch.
Saying, love is in the air, and life is better with you by my side. We look forward to our journey through life together. This time we would appreciate privacy.
Yeah.
For all those close to our hearts.
Two pieces of shit.
Yes, right. Right. Yeah, what the fuck is that? Oh, God. I saw this a couple days ago, and I didn't know it would be here. This subhuman slit her 11-year-old son's throat after a trip to Disneyland, and police found the boy dead on a motel room bed surrounded by Disneyland souvenirs. I don't even want to.
No, we don't want to go there.
No.
That's savagery.
Savagery.
When I was a kid, that, you know, they still referred to Africa commonly as the Dark Continent.
Yes.
And you always thought of any of these son of a bitches, whether it be the jungles of South America or India, any of these fucking places, as just being savage.
Yes.
And all we knew about them was what we saw in National Geographic, and that was none too pretty.
Yes. Exactly. And they've done untold damage to our lands. GPS analysis reveals 84% of attendees of that creature, AOC, and the other one we looked at, the kike from New York, Bernie Sanders rallies, had participated in at least 9 other DNC protests. So it's kind of like a rent-a-crowd.
Yeah, they're rallying the commies. Yeah, the hardcore commies that they can depend on to show up.
Correct. North Carolina Supreme Court rules a mother and her son can sue a public school system and a doctor's group for allegedly administering the boy a COVID-19 vaccine, that should be in quotes, without consent. That's good.
Well, they should.
Yep, exactly. Okay, egg prices surged 237% under Biden's 4 years. Our plan a month ago is working. Wholesale prices have dropped 53% since. Okay, good.
Remember the old saying, what does that have to do with the price of eggs?
Yes. Or the price of tea in China.
Who in the hell would have thought that would be a major headline?
Exactly. This guy, Doug Burgum, announces $830 million in savings by cutting contracts for unnecessary surveys at the Department of the Interior. That's good.
Yeah, sure.
So that's a cabinet meeting they're in. Energy Secretary says the Biden administration expanded the Department of Energy by 20% to reduce energy production and raise costs, vowing to reverse that trend. That's good. Commerce Secretary Howard Ju Lutnick calls April 2 American Liberation Day, saying it marks when the world will start treating the U.S. with respect. Because that's when the tariffs go into.
Yeah, we shall see. We shall see.
I have no interest in hearing these people talk. I don't know about you. But Trump says a massive border plaza capable of holding hundreds of thousands was recently empty, calling it an amazing transformation. Trump says states will soon take greater control over the Department of Education, promising better treatment for teachers and rapid changes in the education system. Secretary of State Rubio says Americans should be proud to have a president promoting peace and ending global conflicts. Vice President, the new vice president, criticized the Biden administration for not expanding the Abraham Accords, saying it added no new countries out of political spite. That's terrific. Secretary Scott Bessent, or Bessent, however you say it, says the administration is reprivatizing the economy, cutting government spending, reducing public sector jobs, releveraging the banking system, and boosting manufacturing to address the affordability crisis. Trump was right about everything. You like that hat?
Yeah.
And he attended Trump's cabinet meeting. Ugh. Ugh. Here you go, James.
Yeah,
that
right,
piece
sure.
of shit.
Yeah, there I go.
Yeah, announces the state will not cooperate with ICE.
Yeah, well, go set her up. Get rid of her ass.
That's coming. That's actually coming. They just have to make sure it's done the right way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ironclad.
Yes. So they, and plus, so they don't, raise the ire of the communists too much. That,
yeah, well, let them.
Because, well, the Jews just, media will jump right on that.
Well, they will, but fuck them. Yeah. Fuck them anyway.
Of course.
Throw her into general population with a bunch of horny motherfuckers.
Black motherfuckers.
Yeah, black motherfuckers, yeah. Right.
Yes. Tesla stock has surged nearly 20% since Tim Walz celebrated its decline. What a fucking asshole. Hyundai to invest $5.8 billion in a Louisiana steel plant, according to the White House. Yeah, Trump knows how to bring money here. And there it is. Trump announces a 25% tariff on countries purchasing Venezuelan oil.
Oh, this is right here, a block and a half away from me. That is a shitty portrait, by the way. That's a crummy portrait.
It is a shitty, but do you think he got a little carried away?
No, I mean, hey, if you don't like your portrait hanging in a state capitol building, you shouldn't have to put up with it.
That's, yeah.
And I think it was done deliberately out of disrespect.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, they hate the guy. So,
they hate the guy, right?
Yeah. Yep. Archbishop El Pedophorus of America praised Trump, saying, "Through your leadership, you embody the values of our Christian faith and love for the gospel. You remind me of the great Roman emperor, Constantine the Great."
Except I don't think Constantine was in love with the Jews.
Right, right. Well, I don't expect this guy, whoever he is, to know anything. Trump responds to reports of his cabinet officials discussing sensitive material on Signal. That's like a messaging application. Saying, "I don't know anything about it. It couldn't have been very effective because the attack was very effective." Okay.
Yeah, well, I think that's a setup. I think that's a deliberate thing.
Sounds
on the
like
part of
it.
These fucking bastards.
I agree with you. Trump administration has informed Kaik Judge Boasberg that it will not disclose further details on the Alien Enemies Act case, citing the state secrets doctrine to withhold information on flights and deportations. In other words,
right.
Fuck you, Boasberg.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. You're not getting anything. I'm the president. I decide. You're a little fucking piece of shit judge. Go fuck off. Okay. Let's just go here, James. because we never look at this, and let's just see what this guy is saying today. I mean, after all, he is the president. Let's just check in on the chat first. Get rid of that auto scroll. Johnny Sunshine is here. Oh, I like that picture, Klasha. Take a look at this, James. This is the way it should be. This is the way it should be.
All right. Yeah, I think so.
Enough is enough. Right?
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
Yeah, that pretty well says it all.
Take off a couple of heads, you know, the savages will be scramming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Take off those heads. All right. Let's go here and here. Wow, that was big. Okay. And here. And we're good. We're good. That auto scroll came back for some reason. I don't know all these damn gadgets. Let's see what we got here. Let's go to Trump's page. This is his, I guess he created his own social media site.
Well, he learned very early that the media is not to be trusted.
Exactly.
Absolutely. That's one of the first lessons he learned.
The media is the enemy.
And he said that, I think.
Well, shit, that's been said many times before him, of course. Willis Carto, you know, somewhat popularized
that. But for a mainstream guy to say it, that's something.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. Okay, wow, look at all this stuff here. Let's not go back too far. All right. And all right. Let's see. We don't care about that. All right. So he, remember that Alina Haba? We talked about her last show.
In Minneapolis, or is this somebody else?
No, no. That's Trump's counsel.
Okay.
That lawyer. She was like some sort of Syrian or Aramaic or I don't something. Know what it was. Syrian.
She's his counsel.
His counsel. Counsel okay. to the president.
Okay.
She's going to be the interim U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey, her home state. So he's putting in allies. Okay.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, I don't care. All right, that's the Department of Education, I think. Let's see what she's saying here. I don't know what she's going to say.
You know, I've been asked, why in the world I would want to be a secretary. You know, I've been asked why in the world I would want to be the secretary of a department that is going to be done away with. I'm actually firing myself.
Pleased to be joined today by the woman who I chose because she is an extraordinary person, and hopefully she will be our last secretary of education, Linda McMahon. Linda, you're presiding over something that's so important, and you're going to do a fantastic job, just like you have your whole life. She's had nothing but success. So hopefully you won't be there too long, but we're going to find something else for you, Linda, okay?
We both believe very much that education should be tailored to community.
Okay. Well, that's good. She's firing herself. That's excellent. Supposedly Trump picked a kike to serve as the CDC director. Surprise. We talked about that Hyundai. Well, this says $20 billion. I think the other one said, what was it, $8.5 billion?
Yeah, much less. Much less, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's a billion. All right, Governor of Louisiana, Greek Independence Day celebration. Oh, that's why that guy was there. All right. Ha! Best place to hide a dead body is.
I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
I like that.
Yeah, that is awesome. All right, there's another Jew, Lee Zeldin, who's in charge of the EPA. All right, let's see. Thousands of students showed up to see Charlie Kirk. Who gives a fuck? All right, what's this here? On this day in 1945, 16,000 Allied airborne troops landed near Wesel, Germany. Operation Varsity, the largest single-day parachute and glider assault in history, succeeds in securing a series of bridges over the Rhine. You're proud of it, asshole?
Yeah. Swamping the place. Yeah. Stamping out the last vestige of actual culture and freedom and civilization.
Exactly. They're proud of it. Yeah, you did great job. Great job, Trump. Fucking stupid goyim. UAE, United Arab Emirates, $1.4 trillion investment in the United States. Ugh, that fucking kike, that Cuban kike. So he took away this kike's Secret Service protection. Awesome. Go fuck yourself, Jew. All right, somebody, I guess Trump's getting there in his helicopter. Some Africans, I don't care. Well, let's just take a look, see what these Africans are saying.
The dismantling of the Department of Education. Let me go ahead and break it down.
Come on, talk about it.
You got a whole bunch of people who think that these kids who don't get food at home will no longer get food at school because there is no DOE. First of all, it's the Department of Agriculture that handles the school meals. So there's still no child that's going to be left hungry. The next thing that I heard was that, oh my God, they're going to get rid of the Pell Grant and all of these other things so that HBCUs are going to suffer and kids who can't afford school aren't going to be able to go to school. That subset of issues is going to be moved over to the Department of Treasury, and they're going to handle your new Pell Grants and your student aid and things like that. And then they'll say things like, oh my God, well, they're not going to fund disabilities or the IEP programs. That's being moved over to the Department of Health and Human Services. Mm-hmm. So if more Black people knew that, we wouldn't have this uproar about the DOE going. And then let me also tell y'all that the DOE
Thank you for touching on that.
It's amazing. Of K-12 schools, like it's only 10% of the funding. If you genuinely believe that your state cannot recover 10% of funds to get to the DOE, which they already barely give money to, sweetheart, you are sadly mistaken. And at that point, that's when you have to look at your elected officials and see what are they voting on in these budgets?
What are they
asking for every fiscal year?
Yeah.
Because now with DOGE, we're seeing that we're paying millions of dollars to watch shrimp run on treadmills.
Yeah, well, hey, they're not all stupid, are they?
No, there's a few of them, obviously. Yep. And she knows. I have no idea who this is. That looks like West Virginia. Trump's shaking his hand. He signed some sort of executive order. Let's see what he signed.
Sir, your administration has made it a priority both to end lawfare and the weaponization of government and also to hold those who have engaged in lawfare accountable. One of the law firms that has been involved in that is called Perkins Coie. That's also a law firm that has engaged in unlawful DEI practices. This executive order will suspend.
And I've watched it take place.
This executive order will suspend security clearances and access to certain federal resources for that law firm, and also launch a holistic review of unlawful DEI practices at some of the nation's largest law firms.
This is an absolute honor to sign. What they've done is just terrible. It's a weaponization. You could say weaponization against a political opponent, and it should never be allowed to happen again.
Yep. I don't know. Let's see.
Not a day goes by I don't think about it.
Trump's longtime assistant shares what happened after the shooting.
I'll never forget him dropping to the ground, shots being fired, him going down, and then him fighting through the Secret Service to get up and not only get his shoe, as you heard on the mic.
Let me get my shoes.
But the way he got up and lifted his fist and yelled, fight, fight, fight. That's his spirit. And that's the way that man is behind the scenes. Fight, fight, fight. He's been doing that all his life. Then they brought him in and brought him to the hospital. I picked up his hat because the hat fell to the ground, gave it to him in the hospital. And he's there on the phone wanting to know how you guys are doing, how the family is doing. He cared about the people that were in the room, the Secret Service agents, myself. He's a warrior. And that's who the American people have leading this country.
Many people have told me.
All right, that's enough. Let's see. National Medal of Honor Day. Yes. And there's a bunch of people, I guess, who had received the Medal of Honor. And that's the Secretary of the VA right there. And there's the Vice President. That's it.
Well, that's a plenty.
Yeah, that was fun. Okay, let's go to the chat, see what's going on. Yeah, I think that is Truth Social, Lori. Yep, that is. Yes, that is. Okay, Race and Reason with guest James Mason.
Wow. Johnny, you're talking about the Tom Metzger show?
Yes.
God, that goes way back.
Yes, thank you. How long is that, Johnny? Does it say how long this one is? We'll find out.
I did three. They were 30 minutes each.
Ah,
but I edited them together.
Yes.
I illustrated them. While Metzger and I were talking about something, I put the illustration in there. So it wasn't just our faces the whole time.
Mm-hmm. All right. We've got Lisa from Germany is here. And Lisa says, this is King Charles III of the United Kingdom. The sword Excalibur, the power to rule is not theirs. This says the British monarchy has disqualified itself, regicide, fratricide. They became Satanism, Luciferianism, Baphomet, Molech, Baal worshippers of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. They did not find the Holy Grail. The sword Excalibur is not his. The claim to rule as king of the Jew World Order is not legitimate. The British monarchy conspired with the Bolshevik Jews, the slaughterers of the Russian Orthodox Christians. And what has the British monarchy ever done for the Christian Greek Orthodox Church to be honored like that? King Charles III, in his golden robe, is as phony as Trump in his golden Trump Tower, prayed over by Christian Zionists in support of Talmudist Satanists. Both are fronts for the Jewish demons in power. They are the illegitimate ones.
Sadly true.
Can't argue with that. Let's take a look at what she's talking about. It's almost a 5-minute video, but we'll just watch a little bit of it. All righty then. King Charles III receives jeweled sword of offering and spurs to a Byzantine chant.
Receive these spurs, symbols of military honor and chivalry, that you may be a brave advocate for those in need. Wearing his coronation robe, something that was only allowed at the last minute, the hereditary peers could get out of their cupboards their original coronation robes. Penny Mordaunt, the Lord President of the Council, has put down the sword of state which she's carried for 51 minutes. It's 7 pounds in weight, 3 kilos, and she now receives the jeweled sword, or the sword of offering. She received it and gave it to the Archbishop.
And so direct and support thy servant King Charles, that he may not bear the sword in vain, but may use it as the minister of God to resist evil and defend the good, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And interestingly, what we're listening to now is a Byzantine chant, and it's in Greek. It's a Greek Orthodox offering, and it was requested specifically by the king in memory of his late father, Prince Philip, who, of course, was Prince Philip of Greece.
The Lord President had this dress made specially. The leaves you see are recognition of the leaves of Privy Councillor's uniform. And the king has received the jewelled sword.
Receive this kingly sword. May it be to you and to all who witness these things a sign and symbol not of judgment, but of justice. Not of might, but of mercy.
Now the king stands and the sword will be essentially what they call girded to him. He doesn't wear it for very, very long, and will then hand it back to the dean, who passes it again to the Lord President.
With this sword, do justice. Stop the growth of iniquity. Protect the Holy Church of God and all people of goodwill. Help and defend widows and orphans. Restore the things that are gone to decay. Maintain the things that are restored. Punish and reform what is amiss, and confirm what is in good order, that doing these things you may be glorious in all virtue, and so faithfully serve our Lord Jesus Christ in this life, that you may reign forever with him in the life which is to come. Amen.
The important part of the service, that the sword is to be used for good and to help people, not to harm people, and that is why the king will stand and offer the sword at the altar, where it will be received again by the dean, and then the king will return to the coronation chair. So the sword is redeemed and is returned to the Lord President of the Council. Very important symbolically, Daniel. Very.
Yes, and after it's been laid.
All righty then. Let's see. That was a year ago. So that was when he was coronated.
Crowned. Yeah. Well, let me jump in for a minute or two some British Israel.
Yes.
You're really looking at something there. 1,000 years old and even older than that. It goes back to ancient Israel. A lot of the words, God save the king, that's straight out of the Old Testament. Coronation of Solomon, I believe. It's established, it's proven, it's recorded in Westminster Abbey. Those people are in a direct line from King David. But in the books of Kings in the Old Testament, which of course I studied, three-fourths of them, according to the books of Kings, were no good sons of bitches. Though they may have been the kings, they let the kingdom go to hell. And this is what we're witnessing. But as far as the ceremony is concerned, you're really seeing something. Now, the seat that he was on, the chair, right under the seat, there's a compartment there, which for centuries held what they call over there the Stone of Scone, or the Stone of Destiny. Pretty well established that it's Jacob's pillow, right straight out of Genesis, having been gotten there by Jeremiah after the final collapse, along with a couple of the last two remaining princesses, the king and the princes, were killed by the Assyrians or Babylonians, whichever it happened to have been. But that bloodline got out of there with Jeremiah to Egypt with a lot of the relics, made it to Ireland, and the princesses married into the royal line. So there you have it. But with time, things decline, and they go rotten. And so we see a bunch of rot today.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. Well, thank you for that, Lisa. All right. Now, let's go to the chat. And we've got the slippery slope of blackness. I think Klasha gave that to us. Let's take a look, James. All right, let's make this bigger.
You are here. Yeah, true. How true. Wow.
Yeah, perfect.
Straight down. Nosedive.
Yes. Done. Finished.
A little of that goes a hell of a long way.
Yeah, they took care of us. All right. Okay. Let's get back to the chat. And we've got, Lori says, I think that interview is on the James Mason Telegram channel. Yeah, probably is. Like James said, there were three of them, right?
We did three back to back, boom, 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 each one 30 minutes. But for the sake of our purposes, I put them together.
Right.
Knocked and this out all the extra intros, right? Got rid of all the intros and the goodbyes and put them together.
Right. This might be it because Johnny Sunshine says it's an hour and 19 minutes long.
It's about right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's it. Herman Hilser Ritter. Oh, Lori says, I'm sorry. Oh, no. She watched it. It's good. We should watch it or parts of it, right, in the show sometime.
Oh, I can send you the thing on a thumb drive, flash drive.
Well, I mean, we could watch it right through that channel.
And that John sent. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, especially since I added the illustrations.
Okay, yeah, sure. I mean, maybe I have it already, right? Is that
you
all material?
You should have. You should
okay,
have
yes,
it. Yeah.
Well, I have mm-hmm. it. Yep. Herman, King Charles III has something in common with thousands of British Jews. He was Uh-oh.
Oh, I know who that is, but they'll wait.
Yeah.
Bulgaria calling.
Really? You sure you don't want to take it?
You want?
Take it, and I'll read this.
You go ahead.
It's not every day that Bulgaria calls.
No, it isn't. I know who it is, too.
Okay.
But I'll get off here and go in the other room.
Okay. Then I will not read this because I'll wait for James to get here, you know, after his call from Bulgaria. And then, so he can comment on it. Mm-hmm. All right. We don't have tons of messages, so we're good. Let's see what we can do right now. It's 11:42. It's 11:42 Central Time. Well, we'll play a little of James. What the hell? Until he gets back. Unless he's back already. Let's see. Yeah, he is. Wow, that was quick.
Well, not quick enough. But I know who it was, and I know the reason they were calling, and I'll try again later, but I couldn't put it through.
Ah, that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
We'll get to the chat. Herman says, King Charles III has something in common with thousands of British Jews. He was circumcised by Rabbi Jacob Snowman, 1871 to 1959. A brilliant physician and one of London's leading Mohelim Jewish ritual circumcisers. It is widely believed that the tradition dates back to the early 1700s when Britain's King George I, who was born in Germany, imported the custom of German noblemen to have Mohelim circumcise their sons, though some have disputed this account, claiming that this royal practice is far newer. It's unclear why this became a tradition, but some speculate their extensive experience reassured anxious parents that their sons would be safe during the procedure. Charles's mother, Queen Elizabeth, wanted only the best for Charles. So she turned to Rabbi Snowman, who was well known in London's Jewish community. There you go.
Well, it's an oddball thing.
Yes.
It comes right out of probably Genesis. I guess it was hours before the Jews got into it. The real purpose, I don't know.
Yeah.
The actual good of it, I don't know. I've had it described to eliminate what's that thing the Tsarevich had, the bleeding disorder. To I don't know how that would help eliminate that, but I've heard it claimed, but I don't get it.
No,
I'll admit I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a weird kike thing. I don't know. Okay, let's go here. And go back to the chat. Lisa, the Satanists are not known for chivalry. They are known for slaughtering the defenseless, fighting women and children. No honor. Yes. Court. What's that?
James? True.
Yeah. Court says, and that's C-O-R-T, assuming Prince Andrew wasn't in attendance, too busy raping children on private islands.
Oh, at the coronation? Was he in attendance? I don't know. I kind of thought that he was.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what this is.
Not that it matters.
No. No, it don't. It don't. Here's an image from Klasha. I'm not quite sure what it is. But let's make it a little bigger.
At first glance, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Looks damn good.
Yeah, it does.
I'm refreshed.
Yes. Yes, it's always lovely to see something like that. All right. Let's...
Beats the hell out of Tiger Woods anyway.
Oh, yuck. Okay. White pill. That's a white pill, she says. Yep, it is a white pill. Is this the Telegram channel? I think it is. Lori will confirm that if she's around. Excellent. Okay. Let's go to some stories, James. Every week, Associated Press comes out with its AP Week in Pictures, right? Let's take a look at some of these pictures. All right, A Week in Pictures Global. That right there, let me see. I'm going to make that a little smaller. Is that okay, James?
Yeah.
Models wait backstage for the opening show for China Fashion Week, featuring Finnish outdoor gear brand Heiti. So they named the Finns named their brand Heiti. That should evoke, you know, images of fun in the sun. You know, it's like, what the fuck? Why don't you name it Shithole?
Right. Yeah, well, the scum also rises.
I don't get it. Ah. So there we see a bunch of kikes. And this is an ultra-Orthodox kike child walking through the streets in Israel in costume during the Purim festival celebrations. That's where they murder a lot of people. A lot of goyim. This is amazing because if you look at this, you know, this is a house in Missouri, obviously lying in ruins following a storm. But if you look at this house, You know, you see that it looks like an outside deck, right, and porch and stuff. Mm-hmm. It looks like a pretty nice house, but you could see these poor people that everything of their life, their lives, is just like scattered. Although, of course, it could have been worse. I'm just saying that it's sad when you think about it, because any of us are vulnerable and we could be exposed to this.
At any time.
We saw this picture already, but it's nice of them to put it in the weekly roundup here. A bunch of victims of the kike in Gaza. There. And there is China Airlines flying from Beijing to Amsterdam, wow, silhouetted against the sun over St. Petersburg, Russia.
Doesn't look quite right. They're trailing a lot of smoke.
Yeah. Well, those are the chemtrails that they're spraying shit into the sky. It's pretty crazy. There's more of the kike handiwork in Syria, right?
But they're all decorated up in spite.
Exactly.
Takes widows balls. And,
what's that?
It takes balls.
Absolutely.
They apparently got them.
They got them. You have to go against a kike because you're going against an alien. Widows and mothers of war victims gather for iftar, the fast-breaking meal organized by local NGOs in the devastated Jobar neighborhood of Damascus, Syria. Thanks, Jews. Thanks, motherfucking Jews. Yeah, who cares? And there you go. This is what the Jews have given these people. Take a look at that apocalyptic scene, James.
As far as the eye can see, yes. Devastation.
Ali Maruf and his mother Aisha cook on a fire on the roof of their house, which was destroyed by the Kike Army's air and ground offensive in Jabalia, Gaza Strip, on Monday. Isn't that nice, James? See what they did?
Those people have a lot of guts. I don't know how well these people over here would make out under such conditions.
No.
They're spoiled. They're soft.
Oh, fuck. That is desolation right there.
That's worse than desolation, man.
Yes.
You'd be better off out in the middle of a roaring wilderness.
Yeah. Makes sense to just look at that for a little while. That's some Indian.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Ah, let's see what we got here. Palestinians wait for. These are these are the terrorists that the Jews.
Yeah, these
got.
Are the terrorists.
Yeah, they don't go after civilians. Remember, he
and
said
they're,
that.
They're waiting for food that isn't coming.
Right. That's right. There you go. This is what they did.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, these are bad people, you could tell. They're all strapped with explosives. And they love the Jews. There would be no reason for them to hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah, who gives a fuck? And U.S. airstrikes in Yemen. Thank you. The Jews are expanding their bloody wars to other countries. Some Africans. Her friend, you see the blood there in the street, and there he is right there. Her friend fell dead from a bullet wound after soldiers fired their guns into the air as a tribute during the funeral of two soldiers in Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
The bullet came down, back down out of the sky. And
yes,
hit the guy. Yeah.
That right. Happens more than, yeah, it happens more than you would like.
I'll be damned.
Okay, let's see what this is. A protester wears a jellyfish costume during a rally outside the Chinese consulate in Makati, Philippines. is a call on government to file a case before the International Court of Justice to compel China to pay environmental reparations for its alleged illegal activities, South China Sea. That looks like a man with makeup.
It so, looks weird, I'll say
weird.
That.
Yeah, I was thinking that it was some sort of trans protest. Those are graves being dug for victims of a massive nightclub fire in North Macedonia.
Oh, down there, right above Greece? Or is it someplace else?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Israelis protest against Netanyahu's plan to dismiss the head of Shin Bet Internal Security Service and call for the release of hostages held by Hamas in the Gaza Strip. So they're more, they look pretty good, you know. They've got nice umbrellas, and you see some of them have Jewish flags, and even some of their umbrellas are the Jewish flag, right? And they're not protesting for the genocide, but they're protesting for some political matter.
That's a bit of a one-sided affair, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
That's a hell of a thing. They really can't strike back. I mean, it's reported now and then they'll have fired three or four missiles. Two out of the three were shot down. One landed in an open field. That's not much of a war. That's a slaughter.
That's a slaughter. That's fish in a barrel. People push a car on its side during a protest near the home of the owner of a nightclub where that massive fire broke out in Macedonia. So I guess pushing the car.
That's going to answer
everything. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Very good, savages.
So Macedonia, if I'm pronouncing it right.
That's I think it's Macedonia.
Macedonia.
Yeah.
Like macadamia.
Yes, exactly.
I knew a couple of Macedonian girls over here at what had been my favorite tavern until the bar mistress sold the damn thing. But it was nice to go in there and meet and chat with all these Eastern European girls.
Oh, yes. Wonderful.
But wasn't that the home of Alexander the Great, or at least of his father?
It might be. I don't know for sure.
But anyway.
Yeah. Sorry. I thought the microphone was off. Let's just find, if we could, real quick, just to make sure. Because I have heard Macedonia and I have heard Macedonia. All right. So the Greek word for Macedonia or Macedonia was, and they show the Greek word, the K, which is the C, is a hard C in Greek. So it would be said Macedonia.
Okay. We always like to be accurate.
But you can see that there are other ways to pronounce it. So
Macedonia.
There are others that say Macedonia. I don't know. Maybe someone in the chat will know.
Doesn't come up all that often.
Yes. Right. Exactly.
But when it does come up, you want to be right.
Exactly. Least. Yes. Okay. Let's get back to this guy. And these are spectators watching the ceremony before the start of the World Cup qualifying soccer match between Japan and Bahrain. Who gives a fuck? Okay. These look like more. These are Turks. They're not happy.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're going to throw a couple of cars on their sides. Yep. And here we've got. This is in Cairo. These are Muslims who are doing something. Who cares?
I saw on the news, my network news, of course, where Erdogan of Turkey is calling his opposition flat out evil. That's what Trump should start doing.
Yes. Guatemalan soldiers patrol the shared border with Mexico as part of the Ring of Fire operation, aiming to strengthen border control at the mouth of the Suchiate River in Ocos, Guatemala. Terrific. Look at that beauty.
Yeah. What's that vehicle doing cocked sideways in the middle of the highway?
Well, he's turning around.
I see.
On a road between trees with freshly fallen snow in the Taunus region near Frankfurt, Germany.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so there are some roaring forests still left over there. And that's good.
Yeah, beautiful. And that is a model backstage at the Moscow Fashion Week. Wonderful. And that's the end of that. How about that?
Well, that's refreshing also.
Yes, yes, very. All right, let's do away with that. We did that, and let's go to the chat, make sure we're not missing out on anything. And we're not. Okay. Let's go here. Now, this is an older story that I missed. I just want to quickly go through it. This was from a couple weeks ago, I think. So let's just take a quick look at it. Federal technology staffers resign rather than help Musk and Doge.
Yeah, well, good riddance.
Yeah, this was at the end of February. So let's see what is going on here. More than 20. Wow.
That's a stampede.
Civil service employees resigned from Musk's Doge, saying they were refusing to use their technical expertise to dismantle critical public services. Okay, so 21 of them, right?
Yeah, big deal.
Good riddance. Go away. Get the fuck out of here. Yep. Okay. The mass resignation. See how the Jews media does it, right?
Yeah.
It's 20 fucking assholes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mass resignation.
And four is a mass shooting, right?
Yeah, well, that's right. That's exactly
yeah, four
right.
or above is designated a mass killing.
Correct.
They apparently haven't seen a mass killing, have they?
No.
But maybe one day they will.
Yeah.
Maybe one day they'll be part of one.
Yes, exactly. There's a story about Luigi.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see what we got here. Can you see that okay, James?
Yeah, I do. I hope he gets it, but I think it's a fat chance.
You want to read that?
Mangione wants a laptop in jail while he awaits trial in killing of United Healthcare CEO. I hope he gets it, but I think it's a fat chance.
Right. Okay, there you go, James. Read away, my friend.
Okay, here we go. If I look weird, it's because I'm looking through the bottom of my bifocals. Luigi Mangione is asking for a laptop in jail, but just for legal purposes, not for communicating with anyone, as he awaits trial in the killing of United Healthcare's CEO. In a court filing made public late Monday, Mangione's lawyers proposed that he get a laptop configured solely to let him view a vast amount of documents, video, and other material in the case surrounding the shooting of Brian Thompson. Similar limited laptop provisions have been made for some other defendants in the federal lockup where Mangione is being held. Well, there is hope, apparently. the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, which is prosecuting Mangione on a rare New York State charge of murder as an act of terrorism, didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. According to Mangione's lawyers, prosecutors are frowning on the laptop request, saying that some witnesses have been threatened. Defense lawyer Karen Friedman Agnifilo wrote that there's no connection to Mr. Mangione for any of said alleged threats. Mangione, 26, is accused of gunning down Thompson in December outside a Manhattan hotel where United Healthcare was about to hold an investor conference. Thompson, who was 50 and had two children in high school, worked for decades within United Healthcare and its parent company. Boo-hoo.
Yeah. Goodbye. Goodbye. Okay, let's check on Luigi. All right. And let's go here. We did that. And we're going to check on Luigi, see how he's doing.
All right, well, if there's a precedent for other inmates getting these things, he should get it. His attorney will have to put some pressure on, but he should get it.
Yeah.
I hope he does.
Yes, me too. And we're up to, let's make sure that's, a mere $750, almost $8,000. And here you go. 4 minutes ago, $5. Freedom lies in being bold, Robert Frost. All right, a bunch of other ones. Look at that. It just doesn't end.
It's great. It's heartening, heartening.
Yes. Luigi gets lots of money from this guy. This person says, if you did it, you are the king. If you are innocent, you are Prince Charming.
That's great. I love it.
Forever yours, loyal fan. And there is a, I guess that's Japanese.
Oh, wow.
Chinese.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. They're even giving money. And a lot of women. So, you know, this is an inverted form of justice. We should be applauding Luigi for his brave actions, not prosecuting him. The net effect CEOs have in sowing misery upon countless citizens through their greedy and pernicious ways is incalculable. Luigi's acts are poetic and just for Luigi. There you go. Release this boy already. Stop it. Don't protect these blood-sucking CEOs. We hate them because they get rich off the blood of sick children and have no mercy. You will never make us hate him. Sorry, James. Go ahead.
No, well, it's one bunch of bloodsuckers covering the ass of another bunch. What can you expect?
Exactly. Lori says the Jews have released some video of Luigi self-pleasuring. I think it is the UK Daily Mail. His lawyer is saying it is doctored. I heard about it this morning. They are calling it a sex tape. We'll take a look at that, Lori, just to see. Okay. This is another older story, which we never got a chance to look at. Let's see what it says real quick, and then we'll take a look at the Daily. Actually, you know, we'll do the Daily Mail now. Let's do that. While we're here, the Daily Mail. And I would imagine that because it's Luigi, they will have, let me just put this here.
Yeah, how in the hell did they get a hold of it?
Like they said, it's doctored, no less. Okay, let's go to the Daily Mail, and we'll see what they got here. Yeah, some 14-year-old kid of some baseball player died in his sleep. Maybe he got the clot shot. Okay. Terrifying moment. Two French Air Force jets crash midair. Okay. Let's see if Luigi's in here. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Come on, Daily Mail. Give us Luigi. It's not even a top story? Well, it will be when the trial starts, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's just fine, you know. Whether it's real or whether it isn't, you know, we don't really need it.
No,
they,
no, we don't
they need can it. They can produce miracles now with AI.
Yes, they can. I know that firsthand. All right. Oh, Rosie O'Donnell issues groveling apology just months. Well, let's see what this creature is saying.
How does it feel watching that?
Very, very surreal, I have to tell you. He's been doing it for 2 decades, and I'm still not used to it every time he does. But, you know, I felt very troubled that they put the Taoiseach in that position and didn't treat him with the respect that a leader of that kind deserves when they're visiting the White House. And I wrote the Taoiseach with a little note apology to his email and got a note back that they had received it and thanked me. But I just wanted him to know the history and what happened and why he seems to be out to get me in ways that are startling.
Yeah. This is like a non-entity, this creature.
Yeah, right. Like she's got something to say.
Yeah, yeah. Go away. Nobody gives a fuck about you. I guess we could do a search for Luigi real quick, if there is a way to do that. Hold on. Oh, you got to log in. Oh, there it is. Site. Okay, Luigi. Let's just try the last name. Because there might be more than one Luigi.
Although it isn't likely.
No. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
March 25th. Well. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm glad it isn't there. What's coming up next? I haven't. What's on the bottom? Bring up.
Well,
the bottom.
let's take a look at this.
The CEO of United Healthcare shot and killed.
The story exploded.
I was in disbelief.
I heard the name on the news.
Police arrested Luigi Mangione.
You could see that it was not a professional hit.
Who is this guy?
They are the epitome of the American dream. He was brilliant.
We're all so proud of him.
The doctors won't have a clue what's going on.
He had a lot of health issues.
Maladies and pain.
It was completely devastating.
He started reading the writings of the Unabomber.
Being mayor, the radicalization strikes terror and anxiety.
Luigi reached out to me via email. He seemed to have just sort of gone dark.
Right after it happened, my phone was just nonstop. He didn't seem like the kind of guy that would do something like that.
A take I found online that I think is interesting. Violence against those who lead us to destruction is justified as self-defense.
Ryan Thompson. He was very talented, very bright individual.
The CEO is not very the person who looks at individual claims.
But people wanted somebody to scapegoat.
He allegedly has an enemy in his crosshairs, and it is the insurance industry.
It seems the path of these two former valedictorians were about to cross.
People are donating. They are holding signs up outside. Young women are writing him letters and throwing him kisses. And he thinks, perhaps not incorrectly, that the American public will agree with him.
I mean, is it right, sir? Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
Well?
Yeah, well, making capital with that, but that's okay. Let them.
Yeah. Yeah. So which one do you think? Sex tapes? Here, this must be it. But that's March 21. Let's see what it says. You could see that okay, James?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, boy, they're making us pay for it now. Figures, right?
Well, this is an interesting headline from people who have actually seen it.
Yeah.
I guess it means it's not commonly available.
Yeah.
By that. And why not? I mean, I don't want to see it. I don't think it should be seen if it even exists.
No, I don't want to.
Even if it's a phony, it shouldn't be seen.
Yes.
So I think it's a put on just by that headline alone.
Yes, it probably is. Let's take a look and let me see if I could access this in a different browser. And then see what it's all about. Okay, yeah, so it says, oh, no, it did the same thing to me. Oh, well, can't do it. Thank you anyway, Lori. I would have liked to see what they're talking about, but can't do it. I'm not going to subscribe to the Daily Mail. Straight out of Swampton. Dave and James, we all know niggers are bioweapons. I never relax around them, but I see them as minor in comparison to the flood of Infinity Jeets destroying everything. What say you, Jim? James, are you familiar with the term Jeets?
No.
Yeah. So he's talking about Indians.
Okay.
Pajits.
Okay.
Street shitters. So right. Go ahead, my friend.
They, they got more intelligence. Therefore, they're more dangerous. They can more readily assimilate into the society. And that's the last thing we want is assimilation. I'd rather have them trying to kill us than marry us or assimilate. You bet they're more dangerous for that reason. We don't have your audio.
Oh, sorry.
We do now.
Flashback from Johnny Sunshine. Marianne Bachmeier killed child's rapist and murderer Klaus Grabowski. Okay, let's take a look at that. And I have to do that. I have to allow this site, and I have to refresh it. And of course, we got to go through those commercials. All right, hold on.
Don't close schools. Don't shut down businesses. Don't mandate masks or drugs. And most importantly, don't close schools. Don't shut down
same
businesses.
Stupid commercial.
Don't mandate amazing masks or drugs. And most important.
Marianne Bachmeier shot and killed the rapist and murderer of her daughter in courts. Her daughter Anna was 7 years old when she had an argument with her mother and skipped school. She was later abducted by Klaus Grabowski. He held several hours at his home before she was killed. Klaus's fiancée turned him into the police after she found out what he had done. After Marianne killed him in court, a large part of the German population showed support for her and her actions. Marianne was sentenced to 6 years in prison, but was released after serving three. Marianne died at the age of 46 from pancreatic cancer, after which she was buried in the same grave as her daughter Anna in the graveyard of Lübeck.
Well, how about that? That's the view of justice coming down.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Johnny, for that. Yeah, she shouldn't have served any time.
Yeah, she should have had a medal.
Yeah, exactly. She should have served no time in jail. Yeah, you can't move on. Many people can't move on after the death of a child, of course.
Especially under those circumstances.
And that age, 7. Horrible, just horrible. All right, let's look at some body camera footage from the discovery of Gene Hackman. The story never ends here.
Nobody went in the house, right? Nobody went in?
No, nobody went in.
No, EMTs there. Went in.
The EMTs were the first ones.
They're very brief.
Just
brief, and I told medics. Them we're supposed to go in, and they're like, okay, because I was like, he could be in there, we don't know. I've got a way to get a hold of his kids. Okay. And so a friend of theirs, I got a hold of him. He's got a hold of the lady that's in charge of the estate. And she's saying that she just talked to Betsy a couple of days ago. So I don't see how. But she wants you to call her.
Yeah, we will. We're just trying to, because who they are, I don't have what on me. I just want to keep this limited
as
much as possible. Because once this gets out, you know how this is going to turn with the, So we got to figure out what's going on first. My concern is the carbon monoxide issue.
Kelly, yeah, she knows.
So I want to have them
Joy,
test.
Joy, do you want to come up here? Because I'm going to need help with the dogs, and you can give them this.
So her family's been notified. Okay. They know what's happened up here. Her family.
Okay.
All right. He has a couple of kids, that from previous. Right. They didn't have any kids together.
Okay.
Well, we just now found a way to get in contact.
Right. Let's just try to limit.
I was telling everyone. We were telling the EMT guys, look, you guys, please don't tell anybody. So anyone that I'm involving is close because I worked for him for 16 years. Everything is tight.
I've worked for him for 28. The bottom line was, don't ever mention our name.
Well,
wow. I don't know what to. I don't know how much to make out of that.
No matter what, it was a horrible way to die. Obviously. He probably starved to death because he fell. He couldn't go anywhere. She was dead. The dog was in the cage. Not that the dog could do anything. But there you go.
My friend here and I, whom you're acquainted with, all our sympathies went toward the dog.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, Hackman was, celebrated by a lot of people. I didn't know he was married to a Japanese lady before this happened. But, yeah, the dog died horrible. Being in a cage, pissing and shitting on yourself. Not knowing what's going on. Well, Hackman didn't know what was going on either, right? Because he had Alzheimer's. So, yeah, that's, I imagine this happens, this can happen, and it probably does happen frequently. I know that there was one fella who, I might have mentioned this, one fella who was tied to the USS Liberty. He wasn't on the Liberty, but he was on another ship that, had come to the Liberty's rescue the next day. And he, him and I would contact regularly. And, whenever I sent him an email, he would reply pretty quickly. And I had sent him an email and he didn't. And I waited a little while. And then I saw that, he was on this Facebook, I call it Jew Book, and he was like constantly making posts, and the posts stopped after a certain day. And I called him, and I wonder if I emailed him first or called him, but I called him and I got nothing, and I waited a little while and, not thinking anything like this. And then I eventually called the county sheriff and asked them to do a welfare check. And they did, and they found him, you know, face down in his mobile home, you know, dead for a while. And you never know. You know, these things can happen. A lot of people, I guess, don't want to, you know, impinge on somebody's privacy and get involved like that. But this had gone on for like a week or so, and I just had a feeling something was up. Sure enough, he was dead, and sad, you know, to die like that, right?
Got to have people checking in on you on a regular basis.
That's what it is, yeah. That's what it is. Okay. Let's go over here. We did that, and we talked about this, James, I think. Just let me make sure. Remember those Proud Boys? And, you know, these are some of the people who went on January 6th to the Capitol. Did we talk about this? They lost their name to members of a black Washington church.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Did we talk about that? We might
no,
have.
No, I would have remembered that.
Yeah. The white nationalist group, they lost control of their own name to it. So these judges, right, they think they can do whatever they want. Well, they're finding out now that they can't. So this judge, this D.C. Superior Court judge, no doubt an African, stripped the extremist, they're patriotic, so they're extremist group of control over the trademark Proud Boys and barred them from selling any merchandise with the name or its symbol without permission of the new owners, Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal Church, that Proud Boys members vandalized in 2020. So there you go. That sounds
approximately like what they pulled on the Klan, what they pulled on Dick Butler, what they pulled on Tom Metzger.
Yes.
But these guys are—they're young, they're tough, they're still around, and they're going to have to wake up. They're going to have to use it or get off of it. They just can't take a thing like this lying down. So we'll see what they do.
Yes, exactly. And let me just get rid of that story real quick, and then might as well go to this one because it has to do with J6. So let me get rid of this. And we will go here. And let's get to J6. Actually, before we get to J6, James, I want to, if I could...
These guys could call themselves J6.
Yeah, right. Right.
But they better get a lock on it.
They can call themselves anything they want. Right? Let's just play this for a few minutes. Almost like a No, we don't have to do that. Good. Let's do this. Ready? Okay, let's just go to the chats real quick. All right. Laurie says, good flashback. Yes, it was. Strata Swamped in Devin Stacks Patel Motel explains in detail what benefits they get and how they slide in without H-1B visas. Worth the time to watch. It's way worse than you expect. Thank you, Strata Swampton. Hey, Flood, what's up, buddy? Flood's in the house. And Lori found something here about the sex tape. Let's see. Oh, thank you, Lori. Lori is something else. Okay. I have to now go here and yeah, they thought they were going to stop us, James. Lori was not going to let that happen. And she didn't. Thank you for that. Determined. Okay, let's see it.
Luigi, what do you think of the support for you outside and that GoFundMe?
Luigi's right to a fair trial is being infringed upon because he is being publicly treated as guilty. When I go visit Luigi at MDC in Brooklyn, I sit with him. He is unshackled. He walks around freely in the visiting area. We sit in a room together without law enforcement hovering over us. But for whatever reason, here, despite all the law enforcement, they need him to be wearing this vest. They need him to be shackled, and they stand right over us, and we get no time with him. This week on HBO, in a documentary, I see the chief of detectives and the New York City mayor, full hair and makeup done, sitting down and giving an interview for television and talking about the evidence in Luigi's case, talking about police paperwork that we...
That is a pure Jew.
Yeah, that's a pure Jew, but she's going to bat for Luigi.
Right. She's still
that's an old saying.
Talking about forensics that we have not yet received.
You need to get yourself a good Jew lawyer.
Yes, exactly. So let's see. We got rumors of Luigi Mangione sex tapes are causing hysteria in parts of antisocial media, underlining public fascination with the alleged murderer. Newsweek has reached out to a representative for Mangione outside of regular working hours via email for comment. Okay, let's see if they got rumors of the sex tapes came from the outlet Radar, which reported that Mangione, or Mangione, however you say it, kept a stash of videos of him having sex, citing an unnamed source who said the videos were cinema level. Oh, wait, this isn't that big. I'm sorry, James. I didn't realize that. Okay. Cinema level, where is that? Where did it go? Quality and had perfect lighting. The Radar article does not identify or provide any details about the women that are supposedly involved in the video, saying they are too afraid to come forward. The article is based on reports from an anonymous source. The existence of the sex tapes has not been verified at this time, and there's no evidence they exist. Radar typically publishes pop culture, celebrity, entertainment stories. Media bias fact check describes them as a questionable source, but despite the lack of evidence, the mere thought the sex tapes might exist has sent some people online into a frenzy about them.
Yeah, another giveaway is the cinema quality statement. You're not going to get cinema quality in a jail cell. You're just not, no matter how hard you try.
Right. Let's just see if we could find anything just for the fuck of it. Radar online. That's the name of it. So let's see if we could find. Well, actually, let's go right here. Let's go to Radar Online. All right. And there it is. There she blows. And all right. So it's kind of like one of these National Enquirers, I guess, right? Exclusive, Donald Trump considering Ozempic after ripping down portrait that made him look like chubby white version of Barack Obama.
I can't go that far.
Yeah. No. All right. There it is. There it is. Okay, got the article. Finally, we got it. Let's see where we're at here. Investigation stud. CEO assassin suspect Luigi Mangione kept stash of home movie sex tapes.
It was done outside before the arrest, apparently, according to this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at that. That's it. You have to register or sign in. Not going to do that. Anyway, that's probably like a National Enquirer type.
Yeah,
piece.
Well,
no evidence
you know,
of. But that's okay. We found it. Thank you, Lori.
Yeah.
Yeah. All righty then. Let's go over here. We're going to get rid of that story. We're going to file it. Going to file it for later use. Okay. Back to the chat. All right. Yes. Flood, I found a cool Goebbels article about the world in 2000 if Germany won. Before we get to that, Shameless Wise says I have an hour and a half drive to the doctor. So I'll bid you adieu now and finish listening while driving. Another great stream. Thanks, gents. Thank you, Shameless Wise S. If you have internet, you could probably listen to the show on the road live while you're driving. Okay, let's check this out. All right, German Propaganda Archive. How's that coming in, James? Okay?
Pretty well, yes.
Here, Goebbels takes on the role of prophet, imagining the world two generations after German victory. The war was nearing its end, but Goebbels seeks to persuade his fellow citizens that victory is still possible. Goebbels uses the phrase an iron curtain to describe the results of the Soviet Union's advance into Europe. A phrase later made famous by Winston Churchill. Goebbels did not coin the phrase, but his use brought it to prominence. And this is from, it's called the year 2000, Das Jahr 2000 in Das Reich, from February 25, 1945. James, would you like to read this?
Okay, here goes. The three enemy war leaders, American sources report, have agreed at the Yalta Conference to Roosevelt's proposal for an occupation program that will destroy and exterminate the German people up until the year 2000. One must grant the somewhat grandiose nature of the proposal. It reminds one of the skyscrapers in New York that soar high into the sky, and whose upper stories sway in the wind. What will the world look like in the year 2000? Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt have determined it, at least insofar as the German people are concerned. One may, however, doubt if they and we will act in the predicted manner. No one can predict the distant future, but there are some facts and possibilities that are clear over the coming 50 years. For example, none of the three enemy statesmen who developed this brilliant plan will still be alive. England will have at most 20 million inhabitants. Our children's children will have had children, and the events of this war will have sunk into myth. One can also predict with a high degree of certainty that Europe will be a united continent in the year 2000. One will fly from Berlin to Paris for breakfast in 15 minutes. Our most modern weapons will be seen as antiques, and much more. Germany, however, will still be under military occupation, according to the plans of the Yalta Conference, and the English and Americans will be training its people in democracy. How empty the brains of these three charlatans must be, at least in the case of two of them. The third, Stalin, follows a much more far-reaching goal than his two comrades. He certainly does not plan to announce them publicly, but he and his 200 million slaves will fight bitterly and toughly for them. He sees the world differently than do most plutocratic brains. He sees a future in which the entire world is subjected to the dictatorship of the Moscow International, which means the Kremlin. His dream may seem fantastic and absurd, but if we Germans do not stop him, it will undoubtedly become reality. That will happen as follows. If the German people lay down their weapons, the Soviets, according to the agreement between Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin, would occupy all of East and Southeast Europe, along with the greater part of the Reich. An Iron Curtain would fall over this enormous territory controlled by the Soviet Union, behind which nations would be slaughtered. The Jewish press in London and New York would probably still be applauding. All that would be left is human raw material, a stupid, fermenting mass of millions of desperate, proletarianized working animals who would know only what the Kremlin wanted them to know about the rest of the world. Without leadership, they would fall helplessly into the hands of the Soviet blood dictatorship. The remainder of Europe would fall into chaotic political and social confusion that would prepare the way for the Bolshevization that will follow. Life and existence in these nations would become hell, which was, after all, the point of the exercise. Aside from domestic problems of economic, social, and political nature, England would suffer a declining population that would leave it even less able to defend its interests in Europe and the rest of the world than it is today. In 1948, Roosevelt's campaign for re-election would fail, just as Wilson's did after the First World War, and a Republican isolationist would become president of the USA. His first official act would likely be to withdraw American troops from the European witch's kettle. The entire population of the USA would doubtless approve. Since there would be no other military power on the continent, in the best case, 60 British divisions would face 600 Soviet divisions. Bolshevism certainly would not have been idle during the period. A labor government, perhaps even a radical half-Bolshevist one, would be in power in England. Under the pressure of public opinion, whipped up by the Jewish press and a people weary of war, it would soon announce its lack of interest in Europe. How fast such things can happen is clear from the example of Poland today. The so-called Third World War would likely be short, and our continent would be at the feet of the mechanized robots from the steppes. That would be an unfortunate situation for Bolshevism. It would, without doubt, leap over to England and set the land of classic democracy ablaze. The Iron Curtain would fall once more over this vast tragedy of nations. Over the next 5 years, hundreds of millions of slaves would build tanks, fighters, and bombers. Then the general assault on the USA would begin. The Western Hemisphere, which, despite lying accusations we have never threatened, would then be in the gravest danger. One day, those in the USA will curse the day in which a long-forgotten American president released a communique at a conference in Yalta, which will long since have sunk into legend. The democracies are not up to dealing with the Bolshevist system, since they use entirely different methods. They are as helpless against it as were the bourgeois parties in Germany over against the communists before we took power. In contrast to the USA, the Soviet system needs to take no regard for public opinion or its people's living standard. It therefore has no need to fear American economic competition, not to mention its military. Even were the war to end, as Roosevelt and Churchill imagined, the plutocratic countries would be defenseless before the competition before the Soviet Union on the world market, unless they decided to greatly reduce the wages and living standards. But if they were to do that, they would not be able to resist Bolshevist agitation. However, things turn out, Stalin would always be the winner, and Roosevelt and Churchill the losers. The Anglo-American war policy has reached a dead end. They have called up the spirits and can no longer get rid of them. Our predictions, beginning with Poland, are beginning to be confirmed by a remarkable series of current events. One can only smile when the English and Americans forge plans for the year 2000. They will be happy if they survive until 1950. No thinking Englishman fails to see this today. The British Prime Minister wore a Russian fur coat at the Rialta Conference. This aroused unhappy comment in the English public. When the London news agencies later reported that it was a Canadian fur coat, no one believed them. People saw in the matter a symbol of England's subordination to the Kremlin's will. What happened to the days when England had an important, even decisive say in world affairs? An influential American senator recently remarked, "England is only a small appendix to Europe." His comrades treat it that way already. Has it deserved any better? At a dramatic moment in European history, it declared war against the Reich, unleashing a world conflagration that not only went out of control, but threatens to leave England itself in ruins. A tiny extension of Germany into purely German territories to the east was sufficient ground to see a threat to the European balance of power. In the resulting war, England found it necessary to throw out its 200-year-old policy of the balance of power. Now a world power has entered Europe that begins to the east in Vladivostok and will not rest in the west until it has incorporated Great Britain itself into its dictatorship. It is more than naive for the British Prime Minister to plan for the political and social status of the Reich in the year 2000. In the coming years and decades, England will probably have other concerns. It will have to fight desperately to maintain a small portion of its former power in the world. It received the first blows in the First World War, and now, during the Second World War, faces the final coup de grace. One can imagine things turning out differently, but it is now too late. The Führer made numerous proposals to London, the last time 4 weeks before the war began. He proposed that German and British foreign policy work together, that the Reich would respect England's sea power as England would respect the Reich's land power, and that parity would exist in the air. Both powers would join in guaranteeing world peace, and the British Empire would be a critical component of that peace. Germany would even be ready to defend that empire with military means if it were necessary. Under such conditions, Bolshevism would have been confined to its original breeding grounds. It would have been sealed off from the rest of the world. Now, Bolshevism is at the Oder River. Everything depends on the steadfastness of German soldiers. Will Bolshevism be pushed back to the east, or will its fury flood over Western Europe? That is the war situation. The Yalta communique does not change things in the least. Things depend only on this crisis of human culture. It will be solved by us, or it will not be solved at all. Those are the alternatives. We Germans are not the only ones who say this. Every thinking person knows that today, as so often in the past, the German people have a European mission, we may not lose our courage, even though the mission brings it enormous pain and sufferings. The foolish know-it-alls have brought the world more than once to the edge of the abyss. At the last moment, the sight of the terrifying misery alarmed humanity enough for it to take the decisive step backward at the critical moment. That will be the case this time as well. We have lost a great deal in this war. About all we have left are our military forces and our ideals. We may not give these up. They are the foundation of our existence and of the fulfillment of our historical obligations. It is hard and terrible, but also honorable. We were given our duty because we alone have the necessary character and steadfastness. Any other people would have collapsed. We, however, like Atlas, carry the weight of the world on our shoulders and do not doubt. Germany will not be occupied by its enemies in the year 2000. The German nation will be the intellectual leader of civilized humanity. We are earning that right in this war. This world struggle with our enemies will live on only as a bad dream in people's memories. Our children and their children will erect monuments to their fathers and mothers for the pain they suffered, for the stoic steadfastness with which they bore all, for the bravery they showed, for the heroism with which they fought, for the loyalty with which they have held to their Führer and his ideals in difficult times. Our hopes will come true in their world, and our ideals will be reality. We must never forget that when we see the storms of this wild age reflected in the eyes of our children, let us act so that we will earn their eternal blessings, not their curses.
Well, what are your thoughts, James? You read it.
I felt this for a long time. They tended to forget their own propaganda, which was quite correct. Their propaganda was correct. This thing was Jewish across the board. Did they not know? I guess they didn't know. Churchill was totally sold out, and by this time he was a helpless puppet. Okay. Roosevelt was going to kick the bucket in April, even before Hitler. The people that followed him weren't as bad as he was, but they weren't as good as Goebbels might have hoped. The year 2000, well, the Soviet Union fell apart. But even before that, the Cold War broke out. The Soviets collapsed. They pulled out of Germany. The Americans are still there. The cruddy bastards that were in control there before Hitler took power are back. Germany is, as they say, the powerhouse of Europe, still the cultural center of the world. The German people survive. They're being flooded by these bastards from the Third World, but I think they're beginning to wake up. At least these sold-out so-called leaders are beginning to rather echo that. And not just Germany, but most of the countries of Europe are beginning to echo this. Over here, even though he be in the Jews' hip pocket, Trump is making a lot of noise that a healthy-minded person might applaud. And, hey, man, the year 2000 is getting to be hell. It is a quarter of a century past. So it's tough. Oh, it's dangerous to try to predict the future.
Yeah, yeah, he seems like he had way too much confidence in Soviet Union to be able to just mow over the liberal democracies with no resistance at all.
Well, it was agreed upon. It was agreed upon. This was agreed between East and West. This was a Jewish deal that was agreed upon. And they all followed the agreement.
Yeah.
Until, I guess, Stalin got a little too frisky with the Berlin blockade. And people like Senator McCarthy began dragging out all these communist infiltrators in the government. And the Cold War was sparked. And the Soviet Union, hell, you know, number one, this country saved the Soviet Union. And number two, kept them alive all those years. But, I mean, it was an artificial life support. And in the end, like I say, you know, all these fanatical Bolsheviks had gotten old, were dying off. And the new Russian leadership took a look around and said, hell, this thing isn't working. Why should we go on with it? Well, they went on with it before because they were fanatics. And when you're a fanatic, you do things like that. But when you're not a fanatic and you're thinking halfway straight, you say, hey, it's time to jettison this thing. And that's what they did.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that there are so few out there who understand the absolute significance of World War II and how what happened there is affecting us greatly today.
Well, like I quoted Joseph Kennedy, and it's about the only thing he did that was worthwhile. He said, if there's another general war to break out, it's going to be the end of civilization. And it was.
Yep.
People think of the end of civilization as a whole world looking like Gaza.
No, yeah.
It's not necessarily so. You have to know what civilization really is. And civilization has been going down, down, and down ever since that time. But don't be fooled by technology going up, up, and up. They're two different things.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's gone, James. It's gone. It's, you know, I mean, it's just.
It could be reversed. I mean, if you can call it leadership, it's the wrong leadership. If you can call it philosophy, values, politics, it's the wrong versions of all those. But still, here we sit, you know, we're here, you know, whatever culture, whatever civilization there ever was is the product of the white race. It'll always be that way, like it or not. You know,
no,
like
yeah.
It or not,
of course. Yeah. It's just,
You know, if the Soviet Union can fall, why not this?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's very sad to me. It's very sad that it actually evolved or devolved the way that it has from such heights to such despair. And I'm not blackpilling. I'm just saying that, yeah, of course we're going to keep fighting. But, you know, that war, hell, when we were kids, you know, the bad guys were the Krauts and the Japs.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, not so much the cowboys and Indians, but the Krauts.
And if we had, boy, if we had lost that war, we'd all be speaking German today.
Yeah, right.
Wouldn't that be a hell of a note?
Exactly. And we grew up thinking that bullshit.
But boy, we wouldn't have any of this other crap on us, would we?
No.
None of it.
Well, they did it again, the fucking kikes. Yeah. One last story, James, before we head out, because it's about 2 minutes to go. And let's get this up here. And there we go. Do you eat a meal in 20 minutes or less? Shit. Shit. I eat a meal in like literally 5 to 10 minutes.
I saw that on the morning news.
Did you?
Yeah, it's not good to bolt your food.
Yeah.
Of course, I've always known that. I mean, that's one way to put on weight. You bolt all that food, and before your mind can kick in that you're satisfied or
right.
You've had enough, you've overeaten.
Yes, but
they didn't mention that. They mentioned other things, but that,
right.
to me is the big one.
Yeah, yeah, yes. It's there. It is 20 to 30 minutes. Holy mackerel! It takes about 20 minutes for the stomach to communicate to the brain via a whole host of hormonal signals that it's full. Says Leslie Heinberg.
Yeah, well, she's not telling me anything.
No, he or she, who knows?
Yeah, or he, maybe it's a he, she, you know.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, yeah, 20 minutes, forget about it, man. Forget about it.
Well, if you had more time, I'd tell you a funny story from Cell House 5, but if you want to jot that down, I'll do
tomorrow. Let's talk about it, on Thursday.
Yeah,
because it is
a funny story.
Yes, I got to head out to the VA, and let's take a look real quick. Okay, Joker's here. Hello, Joker. Klaxon SS. What is Luigi's defense? It wasn't him on tape. There is. It's just a bullshit story, probably. Lisa from Germany. It's not gone. Let's have some refreshing fun watching Semper Opera Dresden rebuild, risen from the ash. We will next time.
Absolutely. There's victory, man. There's victory.
Yes, that absolutely.
Victory.
I just get, when I see that, and you reading that, and it had an effect on me. Thomas Dwyer, another great show, fellas. Thank you, Thomas. And James, it is 1:03, and so we will say farewell until Thursday, March 27th.
Adios, amigos.
We better start.